So we left off trying to analyze the machlekes. Rashi tells us at the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah about why exactly is a lulav ayavish possible. So according to Rashi, it's part of a general halacha. We call it din klali v'hidah mitzvah. The hidah mitzvah can sometimes disqualify mitzvah, not always. We've got to put the brakes in that a little bit. But there is a concept of hidah mitzvah potentially disqualifying a mitzvah, at least sometimes according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, that's a non-starter. According to Tosfos, the din of Zekelim and Vey was only a lechetchila. It's never ever going to be ma'akev. The sum is not even a deraisa. It's never going to disqualify a mitzvah. The only reason why lulav ayavish is possible is because of a localized din, a din prati in uchas lulav called hadar. Since the Torah describes an esrog as being hadar, and we assume that the phrase hadar applies to all the dalaminim, that is the only reason why a lulav ayavish will be possible. But hidah mitzvah in and of itself will not disqualify a mitzvah. So within Shittas Rashi, so we pointed out that, again, even Rashi has to put the brakes on, and not every Hidu Mitzvah apostles, but sometimes it does. The fact that Hidu Mitzvah can potentially disqualify a mitzvah opens up for us really a whole new insight as to what Hidu Mitzvah means. It's really going to take us to the next half of the sugya. And that is based on a fundamental question, a major, major hakira that is discussed concerning Hidu Mitzvah, that there are two fundamentally different ways of understanding what Hidu Mitzvah is all about. So everybody agrees there is a concept of hidah mitzvah. Zek kelim and veyu, the raisa, maybe the rabbanon, depends. But there is clearly a halacha out there called zek kelim and veyu. So one can understand that concept of zek kelim and veyu one of two ways. Either one can understand it almost as a separate and distinct mitzvah. Namely, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis is fulfilled in its fullest sense, whether the tzitzis look nice, they don't look so nice, as long as they were made lishma, there's a four-cornered baguette, it's the right material, as long as hilchas tzitzis were met. So the mitzvah of tzitzis per se is fulfilled. It doesn't matter whether the tzitzis look like they've gone through the laundry 20 times, whether the tzitzis are, you know, fresh and beautiful, right off the sheep. At the end of the day, the mitzvah of tzitzis per se is the same, whether it's done bihidura or not bihidura. Elohat. There's a mitzvah of zek kelim and veyu. So when a person buys an extra nice pair of tzitzis, and he fulfills tzitzis in a nice way, so he's almost in a sense fulfilling two different mitzvahs. He's fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis, the same as the fellow who's wearing the tzitzis that are falling apart. It's the same kiyum of tzitzis, but unlike the other fellow who's not wearing nice tzitzis, this person is fulfilling the separate, independent, quote-unquote, obligation of zek kelim and veyu. So do we understand that hidah mitzvah is separate and distinct from the ma'aseh mitzvah itself? They're two, almost like two different kiyumim, two different fulfillments taking place. Well, no, it's not true. Zek kelim and veyu is not a mitzvah in and of itself. Zek kelim and veyu becomes part of each and every mitzvah, namely, when I perform tzitzis in a nice way, that's a greater kiyum mitzvah of tzitzis. When I have a nice pair of tefillin, that's a greater fulfillment. Zeh kelim and veyu is not a separate independent kiyum, but rather it becomes part and parcel of each and every kiyum, each and every mitzvah that you are performing. So this is a very, very important machlokes. We're going to see what the ramifications of this machlokes are in a moment. But this issue seems to be touching on Shittas Rashi as well. Rashi entertains the possibility that the lack of the mitzvah can sometimes disqualify the mitzvah. Not always, but sometimes can disqualify the mitzvah. So how do we even understand, how do we even grapple with such a concept that the lack of hidah mitzvah is going to disqualify the mitzvah itself? If you hold that hidah mitzvah is separate and distinct from the mitzvah itself, so then that idea doesn't make any sense. Am yotzei mitzvah tzitzis, am yotzei mitzvah tefillin, am yotzei mitzvah sukkah. Machpati, what does it matter to me vis-a-vis my fulfillment of that particular mitzvah, whether or not the mitzvah is done in a beautiful sense? If you hold that Zekelim and Veil is a separate independent mitzvah, so granted, I didn't fulfill that mitzvah Zekelim and Veil. I lost out the mitzvah Zekelim and Veil. But to say the Titzis apostle, to say the Sukkos apostle, it doesn't make any sense. So if you separate the mitzvah of Zekelim and Veil in the mitzvah from the Gufa mitzvah, the Etzel mitzvah, then the conclusion has to be that under no circumstances can Zekelim and Veil disqualify the mitzvah. However, if you understand that Zek Kelim and Veil becomes part and parcel of the mitzvah itself, then we can negotiate, then we can discuss. So maybe it becomes part of the mitzvah to the extent that it only poses a problem with Chelchila, or perhaps it becomes part of the mitzvah to the extent where it poses a problem, even b'di'evan. So at least we can entertain about, at least we can begin the discussion about Zek Kelim and Veil potentially disqualifying the mitzvah. That's only if our starting point is that Zek Kelim and Veil speaks to the Etzel mitzvah, to the Gufa mitzvah itself. If one wants, instead of just saying that there are two sides of the hakir, one's right and one's not, maybe they're both right. Maybe there's an element of truth to both of them. And maybe there are two halachas in the mitzvah. Maybe sometimes the mitzvah is functioning as an integral part of the mitzvah itself. And sometimes in the mitzvah is something which is external to the mitzvah proper. How do we know? Where do we have a fine? What's the precedent for this idea of two kinds of hidden mitzvah? We've already discussed it, even within this Rashi. We already spoke earlier in the week that Rashi has quite a startling statement to say that hidden mitzvah disqualifies. Luba Yavish is possible because it's lacking hidden mitzvah. But the Gemara says explicitly that if you don't tie the lulav hadas ben aravas, even though you lost out the hidden mitzvah, it doesn't disqualify the mitzvah. So how do you resolve that? So we had 3-4 different nuances of how to say it, but it all boiled down to the same basic yisod. Namely, not all hidden mitzvah are created equal. Sometimes hidden mitzvah is something which is so terrible. Sometimes hidden mitzvah is something which is focusing on the chefetz itself is so bad, there's a mum almost in the item. Sometimes hidden mitzvah is so off the charts, it's so lacking in the mitzvah that we turn around and say it's possibly even midyavet. And sometimes in the mitzvah is not so bad. Sometimes in the mitzvah just detracting a little bit from the beauty of the mitzvah, but it's not something that's so fundamentally bad. If that's the case, that there are two kinds of hidden mitzvah, according to Rashi, two degrees of hidden mitzvah, so that it's quite possible to say that those 2 degrees match up to the 2 sides of the chakir as well. When hidden mitzvah enters into the realm, that it's a mum, that there's something wrong with the chefza, there's something which is so fundamentally, qualitatively bad about this item, then one can argue you've entered into the realm of the mitzvah itself. Namely, this mitzvah is not being done b'shlemusa. There's something wrong with this mitzvah itself. And therefore, it's possible to be possibly the other. When you're dealing with this lower level hidden mitzvah, where the gavra is not doing it nice, the ma'isa netila is not nice, it's not a mum, it's just a lack of beauty, etc. All those terms that we've been thrown around earlier in the week, whenever you're dealing with the lechatchila realm of hidden mitzvah, then it's possible to say that's a separate mitzvah. That's a mitzvah zagavra. So it comes out that there are really 2 different aspects of hidden mitzvah. Hidden mitzvah is not so simple. Not all hidden mitzvahs are the same. Sometimes hidden mitzvah speaks to the chefetz, and sometimes hidden mitzvah speaks to the mitzvah proper, and sometimes the lack of hidden mitzvah says that you didn't fulfill tzitzis. You didn't fulfill it even midyavid. You didn't fulfill sukkah, perhaps even midyavid. And sometimes hidden mitzvah says, there's nothing wrong with the chefetz. Chefetz is fine. You're yaitzei the mitzvah. You as a gavra have not expressed the proper cover, the proper beauty towards fulfilling mitzvahs. So you have lost your opportunity to fulfill zekeinu ve'veil. Is the chefetz okay? Chefetz is fine. Chefetz is good. Chefetz is home free. The tzitzis are kosher, but you as a gavra didn't fulfill zekeinu ve'veil. So again, so we have this chakira floating around now, which may or may not be related to Shittas Rashi, as to what is the nature of the mitzvah. Is he the mitzvah fundamentally a separate and distinct mitzvah? Or is he the mitzvah part of the mitzvah proper? So this shaila is usually discussed in the following context. It is, the odds are, if you went to a bris on Chanukah in your life, you probably heard this drasha sometime. Because this is like, there are certain drashas that are, if you went to a bar mitzvah during Svira, you inevitably heard about, what's the dinner the kid who forgot, you know, starts to count Svira in the middle when he turns bar mitzvah. So this is a classic. This is a Chanukah bris shaila. So we take a look at the 9th, we have a little while to get to the Chanukah part, but at the 9th of the Maamar Kamos, so the sugya starts out of a Masechet Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel, and this sugya, which starting out in terms of Bris Milah, is going to become the primary source in terms of everything we're talking about Hidden Mitzvah, just what is or is what is not the relationship between Hidden Mitzvah and the Mitzvah itself. So it starts with the sugya in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Hamal, a person is doing a Bris Milah, Kol Zman Shu Osei B'Milah, and he's still involved in the act of Milah. So he hasn't quite finished. As a further question, we showed him, what does that mean? He hasn't quite finished. It means he's still holding onto the knife. He didn't do the mitzitzi yet. He didn't do the bandage. Yet. Different nuances of what's called hamal. At what point do we say that he's still involved in the bris? But he's still, whatever halachal definition of, he's still osek b'mila. So hamal goes by to osek b'mila. Choza bein latzitzin ma'ach v'nes ha'mila. Bein latzitzin she'ei ma'ach v'nes ha'mila. And now he realizes, well, he hasn't finished the job yet, he realizes that he really, truly hasn't finished the job. Namely, that he left some of the orla, some of the skin left, that should have been removed. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that just how much of the orla has to be left in order to pose a serious problem. So the Gemara says it depends. The Gemara says whether it's a rov, a chofes, a Torah, which is the whole question, how exactly do you calculate that and what exactly the Mokum HaTorah means. But there's a certain part, a certain shear of foreskin, of the orla that's left, that could potentially disqualify the bris milah. So that's called tzitzin. Tzitzin means literally like a strand of flesh. That's called the tzitzin hama'ak v'res ha'milah. You left over too much of the skin. You did such a poor job that could be that most of the area is still covered, whatever the definition, precise definition is, you left off enough that the entire bris is not kosher. That's a bris, that sits the ma'akhmer samila. Then it sits in she'ei ma'akhmer samila, namely, you did a messy job. Lamaisa, the meal is kosher, but you left over a little bit of skin here and there. It doesn't look very pretty. It doesn't look very nice. Not a very clean cut. And that's called tzitzin she'ein ma'akhmer samila. So the Braisa tells us that Kozma, that the mole is still involved. He still has his knife. He still hasn't thought of eating his bagel and lox yet. He's still involved in the meal, whatever that means. So then he should fix up right away. He should go fix up no matter what. Whether it's tzitzin ma'akhmer, he should fix it up. Whether it's tzitzin she'ein ma'akhmer, he should fix it up. But what if the second line of the Brai says pirish? What if he already finished? He's done. He's ready. He's already benching from the Suda. They're saying the Rachmans. And then he goes back to check the baby. Oh, my goodness. I did a poor job. So now what do you do? So the Brai says, depends. If it's tzitzit ma'akhver nesamila, if you didn't do the job, the kid's still in Orel, so you better fix it up no matter what. What about tzitzit she'en ma'akhver nesamila? What if the tzitzit that you're going back for are not ma'akhver? Wasn't such a pretty job. They're not going to hire you for the next kid. But on the other hand, the bris is still kosher. So then ain't a chazah. Then you don't go back. So the Braisa draws a distinction between these two factors. Number one, is the person pirish or low pirish? If he's low pirish, then you always go back. If he's pirish, then you break it down and say, if it's absolutely necessary, then you do go back. If it's not so important, then you don't go back. So ad kan divrei Braisa. So there is a major machlokes that we've shown him just what the case is exactly. When we know what's going on, I'm not sure when this case is taking place. So Rashi says one word, which throws the whole sugya into a certain light. Rashi says, in a tenth of the Rambam, comes Hamal, b'Shabbos. Rashi says, by the way, you should just know that this entire story is taking place on Shabbos. Now we know that meal on the eighth day is Docha Shabbos, so that's true. So we can have a meal on the eighth day. Rashi says the entire discussion, all the nuances of when you do and don't go back, are talking about on Shabbos. What forced Rashi to say that? So the answer is obvious. On Chol, if you're doing a bris on a Tuesday, why shouldn't you always go back? Why should you say, well, it depends, I can only go back. If it's low pirish, you can't go back. What do you mean? If you didn't finish the job, so you go back. So even if it sits in She'ein Ma'akhver Samila, you go back. It's not Ma'akhev. So what? Neither is a $500 esrog back. I mean, we try to get a nice esrog. I don't know if a $500. Try to get a nice esrog. We try to have nice titzas, nice tefillin. We try to do things behidura. So according to Rashi, it's a no-brainer. If it's during the week, you have nothing to lose by going back. So of course you go back. Whether it's titzin, she'ein ma'akhmin, yes ma'akhmin, pirish, no pirish, or under all circumstances you go back. So why is the Braisa now limiting to going back if it's talking about on Shabbos? Shabbos is a whole different story. Shabbos, to do a bris on Shabbos, should have been an Issa D'Oraisa. It falls under the category of Chovel, of drawing blood, which is for sure an Issa D'Oraisa. The only thing that's unclear in the Rishonim is which Issa D'Oraisa it is exactly. The Gemara says explicitly, drawing blood, Chovel, is Chayev on Shabbos. There's no Shail that's also in a Torah. Whether it's also for reason X, for reason Y, for reason A, different reasons in the Rishonim and different opinions, but the bottom line is it's Asim and Torah. So any kind of drawing blood, any kind of cutting, any kind of continuing the job on Shabbos can only be permissible if it's part of the mitzvah of Mila itself, because the Torah says, Uvayom HaShmini Yom HaBasar Al-Aso, so the Torah Shabbat Pat teaches us, Bayom HaFilu B'Shabbos. So we know that Mila is Dech HaShabbos, Dech HaYadav, Dech Yom Kippur, we know all that, but that's only if it's the mitzvah of Mila itself. So now, the Braisa makes perfect sense. Let's go back to the Braisa, read the Braisa through the eyes of Rashi. So back to the ninth Imam comes. Hamal, Kozban Shu Osik B'Mila, Kozban, that he's still involved, he's holding the knife, he's still doing the mitzvah, then he can go back for everything. Why? Why is he allowed to go back even on Shabbos? The mitzvah's over. So the answer is, well, the mitzvah's not over yet. As long as he's low pirish, as long as it's the same mice, as long as it's halachically part of the same process, even though the particular cut that you're doing now is not so critical, and if you didn't do it, the meal would still be kosher. It doesn't matter. As long as it's low piresh, it's still subsumed under the heading of Bayom HaShmini Yom HaBasar Loso. But the minute that piresh, the minute that you stop, according to Rashi, so now the meal is over. So now I want to know, can I go back and be Mechal Shabbos later in the day? So the Braisa says, depends. If it's Ma'akhmer, it's the meal. If the bris isn't over yet, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, the kid's still in RL, of course you go back, because what you're doing now is the mitzvah Bayom HaShmini Yom HaBasar Loso. So that's Ma'akev. So therefore, it's Dech HaShabbos. But you want to go back at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for the Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akhmer, it's the meal. What right do you have to do that? I said, how dare you go back for the tzitzin she'ein ma'ach for the samila, that's chol Shabbos. That's chol Shabbos for absolutely no purpose. There's no reason to go back. So to go back, kol's man the ulo pirei, she's still involved in the mitzvah. So then we put it all under the same heading. This is all mitzvah meal. It's all the same. It's all included in the same heading. But the minute that you're pireish, so that's a new shayla. So the new shayla is, what right do you have to go back? So the answer is you don't. If it's ein ma'ach mitzvah meal, you have no right to do it, and therefore don't go back. So according to Rashi, the Braisa reads like a charm, with the obvious being true according to Rashi, that if this shayla took place on Tuesday, of course you'd go back. You go back, whether it's pirish, low pirish, ma'achvid, I'm ma'achvid. Why in the world would you think not to go back? You have everything to gain. Maybe the mitzvah, the mitzvah. So according to Rashi, the Braisa is very, very limited. The Tur in Hilchas Bila quotes this Rashi, and he learns shalalacha like this, that's what the Braisa is talking about, only unique to the case of Amila B'Shabbos. However, let's take a look at the Rambam in the 11th of the Maamar Kamos. The Rambam, Hilchas Bila, Perek Beis Lachadala. Hamal, kol zman she'ozik b'mila, choza ben latzitzin shem akfin, ben latzitzin shem akfin. So far he's quoting the Braisa. That as long as you're still in the middle of being osik b'mila, you haven't yet stopped, whatever that means, then you always go back. Tzitzim akvin, shem akvin, etc. Pirish, if you stop. Al tzitzim akvin chayza, al tzitzim akvin in a chayza. If you already put the knife down, you already stopped, and you're open, you're eating your bagel, and then you realize, oh, you gotta go back, not so simple. If it's tzitzim akvin, you go back. If it's tzitzim akvin, you don't go back. So far the Rambam hasn't really done much, he's just paraphrased the Gemara. Of course, there is something that's a little bit striking about the Rambam. The Rambam hasn't qualified the Braisa yet. The Rambam hasn't added the magic word Shabbos yet. Now, we would have expected the Rambam perhaps to do that, because the Rambam is writing a Sefer Halacha. The Braisa is not writing almost in a sense a Sefer Halacha. The Braisa is talking in general terms what the dinim are. The Rambam is writing a kitza nimrut. This is what you have to do. The Rambam writes, it is a introduction to Mishnah Torah, that if you read his Sefer, you'll know what to do. You won't have to look at any other Sefer to know how to paskin Shabbos. It's not exactly what happened over the years. Other Svarim have been written also. But the Rambam writes that in theory, if you follow everything it says in his book, so you'll know exactly what to do. You don't have to go look for other sources. So if the Rambam is telling you everything you have to know about a bris, the Rambam should have probably told us that Hochav Ma'iskinen, this is dealing on Shabbos. So that's something that just catches our attention, that the Rambam doesn't mention the magic word Shabbos. But in the 12th of the Rambam Kamos, it catches our attention the second time around. So the Rambam says, Osin kotzorcha mila b'Shabbos. The din is that you can do everything related to Mila on Shabbos, and Malin, Uporin, you do the Mila, and you do the Priya is you remove, or you uncover the and little bit of the lower.
Why did the Rambam need to tell us that?
To do what?
Halacha.
Which halacha?
Halacha Dalin.
Hamal calls Ben Shalasi with Mila?
Yeah. If he's doing Malchol, like,
Wait, we're getting there. Hold on, we're getting there in a second. So again, in the 11th of the Rambam comes, the Rambam didn't specify what the case is. He just quoted the Braisa verbatim, didn't qualify it being B'Shabbos. He didn't say a thing. We don't know yet what he said. And in the halacha, in the 12th of the Rambam comes, halacha vav, the Rambam starts introducing the dinim of Mila B'Shabbos. So ochin kotzach Mila B'Shabbos, mal it apart, and motzitzin. So you do the bris itself, you remove the orla, and you do the priya, the lower membrane, you remove, you uncover. Umotzitzin, you do the mitzitza, you draw out some of the blood. All this can be done on Shabbos. V'chozer al tzitzin ma'akvin up b'shabirish, and you can go back for the tzitzin ma'akvin, even though you stopped already. V'al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, kos man shalo pirish, and the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin, you can go back as long as you didn't stop yet. Then he tells you how to put on the band-aid, and he gives you a whole rundown of, Mila B'Shabbos 101. So it is clear from the context of these two Rambams that until Halacha Vav, the Rambam has not even introduced the principle of Mila B'Shabbos. He hasn't even taught you yet that a Mila is Derech Shabbos. In Halacha Dalet, he's still talking about regular Mila on 6 days a week. It's only in Halacha Vav that he begins Mila B'Shabbos, and that's why he repeats again the Braisa, because the Braisa is important for Shabbos also. But why didn't the Rambam specify in Halacha Dalet that he's talking about Shabbos? The answer is because he's not. Because in Halacha Dalet, the Rambam was talking about an Amila B'chol. So if you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, the 13th of the Rambam Kamos, B'chol Zerav Tzitzin, B'raisek is Avdiya B'samach, V'im Rabbeinu Hayim Mepharshim B'Shabbos Dafka, L'hoya Lo L'kos V'liel, L'shino Sakan, Aval Mash B'shum Mepharshim B'Mechol B'Shabbos. So it's clear from the Rambam that the Rambam's talking about the Halacha twice, that this Braisa, which in fact doesn't say Shabbos explicitly, Rashi was the first one to stick in the magic word Shabbos. According to the Rambam, it sounds like the Braisa is talking about Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. Which is startling, because L'chora, it really doesn't make any sense. Why should it be true B'chol? It's a Tuesday morning. The guy did a bris. He did a shabby job of the bris. He realizes an hour later, and we tell him, no, don't go back. It's Sitzit She'im Akvin, you're already Piresh, don't go back. What do you mean, don't go back? I want to buy a nice esrog. I want to do a nice tzitzit. Why should I go back? Like mehechatayse. If you're telling me that tzloch about on Shabbos, and now we have the concern of chilul Shabbos, so then I understand. You have no right to go back because you have chilul Shabbos staring you in the face. But if it's a yom chol, what in the world do you have to lose? Like, why in the world should it didn't be that? Why not? You should be mechuyev to be chozer because to fulfill the mitzvah zekel ben veyu. So what's going on in the Shittas Rambam? So there is a beer that is suggested that's gone through almost a little bit of a transformation, this beer. The Beis HaLevi already started the ball rolling to try to explain away what the Nekudas and Machlokes, what the point of contention in Rashi and the Rambam is all about. It was extended a little bit by the Briska Rav. Each one took it a slightly different nuance. It was in the Soloveitchik family for a couple of generations. And then it was... The feeling is that I'm going to quote from the Mishnah's Yavetz. Yavetz was the Rav Zsolti, was the Rav in Yerushalayim several decades ago. So Rav Zsolti puts together also a little bit of a different twist in the Beis HaLevi, a little bit of a different twist in the Briska Rav. But for our purposes, I think it's going to present, it's the same type of a halach, but it's going to present it, I think, easier, be able to explain it a little bit clearer for the purposes that we need it. So it has its roots back in Brisk. This has been going on already 150 years, the Shtikl Torah. But we're going to present it as the way the Mishnah's Yavetz presents it. So comes the Mishas Yavetz and he says that l'chora, the Shittas Rambam, that you don't go back, is again very startling. You don't go back in the Yom Chol, why not? What happened to hit the mitzvah? So says the Mishas Yavetz, l'chora, the answer to the Rambam is that there's a fundamental principle taking place in hit the mitzvah, and that is, hit the mitzvah only takes place in the context of the mitzvah itself. I can't have a situation where I do a mitzvah today, and then a month later, oh, by the way, I do the hit the mitzvah. There has to be a tzirf, there has to be a connection between the two. The hid the mitzvah has to enhance the mitzvah itself. It can't be separate and distinct one from another. Therefore, the Rambam is telling us that even on a Tuesday, where I don't have any chilul Shabbos consequences to be concerned with, but lamaisa, am I supposed to go back or not? So kol zman shelo pirish, as long as I haven't stopped yet, so I'm still involved in the mitzvah of milah, so then we can relate the hid the mitzvah to the mitzvah of milah itself. But the minute that I'm pirish, that's a halachic demarcation. Once I've stopped doing the mitzvah, I've wrapped the baby up, I'm downstairs eating my bagel, I come back an hour later to check the baby and I see, oh my goodness, I messed up on one of the tzitzin, if it's tzitzin ma'achvin, that's not hid the mitzvah, that's karis. So I better make sure to fix that up. But if it's a tzitzin she'ein ma'achvin is a milah, what are you going back for, says the Rambam? What's the goal? Your goal is, you have this noble ambition to fulfill hid the mitzvah. How are you going to fulfill the mitzvah? You're going to fulfill the mitzvah now by beautifying the milah. The milah is over already. The milah is done. The milah is history. The milah was done an hour ago, and it's done. It's already piresh. The mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah's milah is gone. It's done. You want to go ahead and now make the baby a little bit nicer. You want to make the makom milah a little bit nicer. So that's really nice, but that's irrelevant. That's not a halachic concept. So that's what the Rambam says. Eino chayzer. What are you going to go chayzer for? What are you gaining by being chayzer? You're doing a hidden mitzvah in a vacuum. You're doing a hidden mitzvah separate and distinct from the mitzvah proper. That doesn't fly. There's no such thing. There's no such entity. Halacha doesn't relate to such a concept of just doing a hidden mitzvah just in and of itself. That's the breakthrough of Beshitas HaRambam, which Rashi clearly disagrees with. Rashi holds that we can envision a hidden mitzvah without the mitzvah itself. Just because the person was pirish, just because it's over, that doesn't negate the possibility of doing hidden mitzvah. I'll do hidden mitzvah an hour later. On Shabbos you can't do that. Shabbos is too late. Shabbos you can't be mechal Shabbos unless you're doing the mitzvah proper. But the idea of having a hidden mitzvah as separate and distinct from the mitzvah itself is not something which is impossible in the worldview of Rashi. So it comes out, there's a major machlokes now Rashi and the Rambam. Can we envision hidden mitzvah almost in its own orbit, in its own sphere? Can you have a mitzvah today and then we'll discuss the hidden mitzvah at a later point? What should that depend upon, says the Mishas Yavetz? What should the lobdus be? Can we envision a concept of mitzvah today, hidden mitzvah next month? What should that depend upon? So the chora that touches on a very chakira, namely, what is the relationship between the gufa mitzvah and the hidden mitzvah? If you hold that the yisod of hidden mitzvah is that it transforms the mitzvah itself, hidden mitzvah is a kiyum in the mitzvah. Hidden mitzvah is not a separate mitzvah, it's a gavra. Hidden mitzvah is a greater fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. So when two people are wearing tefillin, one person's wearing beautiful tefillin, one person's wearing shvacha, the kosher, but they're not very beautiful. So that's a big difference in the mitzvah tefillin. One person is getting a greater fulfillment of ukshatim l'osei adecha, and one is getting he's fulfilling the mitzvah, but it's a lesser fulfillment of the mitzvah of tefillin. If you hold that the hidden mitzvah becomes a part and parcel of the mitzvah itself, then the Rambam makes a lot of sense that it can only become part of the mitzvah when the mitzvah is there. If I did the mitzvah here, the mitzvah is over, the mitzvah was done an hour ago, and now I do the hidden mitzvah, the two can't connect. I'm sorry.
isn't chavel a problem not only on Shabbos? Maybe it's not a matter of either mitzvah. It's a matter of
Okay, excellent. So it means stam to be chavel to yeah. cause a person to bleed. So it's called the chavel when it's chavel shelo l'tzorech. You're not allowed to cause someone to bleed when there's no need whatsoever. So this, if lo yitzuyah, this would be a fulfillment of hidden mitzvah, we wouldn't qualify that as a chavel shelo l'tzorech. We would say that's the tzorech mitzvah. So just as we do chavel for many things, we do chavel l'tzorech haguf, person gets shot, person draws blood, well, how you let it draw, get a blood test? So the answer is that's the tzorech haguf. We even, most of us forbid, even chavel l'yipui haguf, we let people get earrings, people get all kinds of things. I don't want to talk about the details of cosmetic surgery right now, but we permit certain kinds of chovel, even though it's not an absolute, extenuating circumstances. So lo yitzuyah, there would be a mitzvah here, we would probably be okay with doing chovel. But according to the Rambam, if there's no mitzvah, you get absolutely nothing. Now you're 100% right. Since according to the Rambam, we gain nothing, then takhredu, it would be a violation of chovel. There's no kiyum. Why does Rashi disagree? Why does Rashi seem to hold that we could separate the hidden mitzvah from the mitzvah itself. Mitzvah now, and the hidden mitzvah, but you have to finish a bagel. You fulfill the hidden mitzvah. On Shabbos, you can't do that, but on the Yom Chol, you'll be able to. So why is that? So Rashi seems to understand that hidden mitzvah is a separate kiyum. Zekeli v'yandeyu. The mitzvah b'yom hashmini that I did at 8 o'clock in the morning. Zekeli v'yandeyu, I'll do it 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's fine, there's nothing wrong. Or I can do it next week, next month, next year. It doesn't matter, according to Rashi. You can separate, you can draw a distinction between the gufa mitzvah and the hidden mitzvah.
According to Rashi, wouldn't you have an England over soul situation? Because let's say in Sukkos, so you have an asterisk, it's beautiful. Now you see someone else's asterisk, it's like, wouldn't you have a chiyuv each time? If you say it's not part of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, meaning why would you?
Oh, okay. Okay.
The
Kiyum
of the
Bris is
for the rest of your life.
Oh, yes. You just took us back to the world of the Beis Halevi, back 150 years. So the Beis Halevi is addressing the issue that both of you are now fighting about. The Beis Halevi says, wait a second, maybe this Lomdus is right, maybe the Chakir is right, maybe we're misapplying it to Bris. Because Bris is a little bit tricky. Bris is a mitzvah that you do the Bris now, but the Bris is still intact for the rest of the person's life. Is that part of the mitzvah? It's touched on a whole nother chakir and hukas bris. This is a much more brismil, localized shayla. What's the nature of the mitzvah bris? Is the mitzvah bris the maisa mitzvah? The cutting off the oral, that's the mitzvah. And then once you did the maisa mitzvah, then the child remains in the state of being nimo forever. We're going to see what I have to see. What's happening. But do I say no? That maybe the mitzvah gufa is being nimo. The mitzvah of bris, maybe there are two parts of brismila. There's the cutting, the Yom HaShmini Yom HaBasar also. And then, now the guy's 65 years old, and he's still in the state of being Nimol, so that's called a mitzvah, that's considered to be part of the mitzvah of being someone who doesn't have an oral, being in a state of Nimol is a mitzvah. If that's true, that's going to throw a monkey wrench into all the mitzvah. So this is going to touch on some of the nekudas. And Ehud's saying, wait a second. He said, I did the mitzvah, I shook the lulav in the morning, and now what do you want me to do? I shook my lulav, and now 3 hours later, you want me to take another lulav? The lulav that's nicer? The mitzvah's over already, legamri. Is that anything whatsoever, even according to Rashi? So we left things hanging. A lot of things to think about over Shabbos. But the basic hakira seems to be here. What is the nature of the mitzvah? It's obviously going to impact on the Rashi and Tosos in our sugi and sukkah. But now we still have to finish putting together the pieces of the sugi and sukkah Shabbos to be able to relate how these two sugis relate to one another. Let's show them next week.